Thank you. Speaking this morning from this passage in Philippians chapter 3, as we think about moving forward with God, as we think about our New Year resolutions, though they wane some in our culture today, most of us have been, we've grown up in a culture of making New Year's resolutions, and yet usually by the second week of January, we've already violated or given up on those resolutions. And I hope that all of us will make the resolution this year and stick with it to move forward with God. 2019 is a very important year for this church and for this congregation. And so moving forward, I believe as you look at what God says in His Word, requires right priorities for God's church. And the church isn't the building. The church is the people. The church are the congregants, the folks who are part of that body of believers in Christ. It requires church health. And how we approach life, I would say to you today, how we react to its vagaries and its variables determines the bulk of our character. It's between our ears that we decide how easily offended we're going to be and what's going to defeat us as we move forward in life. If we decide that life is not just meant to be survived, we can experience adventure at every turn. If we believe life is an adventure, then life is an adventure. It's how we think. The quality of our decisions is what gives our lives meaning. We do not see the world as it is, but we see the world as we are. We see it through how we perceive things. And your focus determines your reality. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Those things that are true, those things that are right, those things that are noble, those things that are honest, those things that are acceptable and pure, think on these things. Don't think on the wrong things, but think on positive things because that determines your reality. It determines your attitude, what you think about. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking this morning? What's your thought process? Two things that I think will help us move forward with God as individuals and as a church. Number one, we must develop our passion for God's kingdom. How do we do that? How do we develop a passion for God's kingdom? Number one, we must examine our priorities. Matthew 13:44 that Judy read, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field, and when a man found it, it was so valuable that he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field. That treasure was so valuable to him that he took everything he had, sold it, so he'd have enough to purchase the field. So I ask you the question today, do you really get the kingdom of heaven? Do you really understand the kingdom of heaven? I think we know that we cannot purchase our salvation, but do we recognize its supreme value? Do we really realize how valuable the kingdom is? God buried the treasure of the gospel right where we would stumble over it. But we'll have to forsake everything else in order to have it. Is the kingdom of heaven this morning, is the Lord Jesus Christ and his priorities, are they your greatest treasure? Are they your greatest treasure? Examine your thought life this morning. What do you think about? Examine your calendar and your checkbook. If you want to know what your priorities are, just think about what you think about. Examine your thought life. Examine where you put your mind to. Look at your calendar. What kind of activities do you fill your life with? How about your checkbook? What do you spend your resources on? It matters not what we say our priorities are. These things will reveal what's really important to us. The reason this man in the parable, Matthew 13, gave up all that he had to get the treasure was that he saw nothing of greater value. That treasure was of greatest value in his mind. If we truly understand the kingdom, if we truly get it this morning, our lives will start to take on the shape of the kingdom. Absolutely everything will change in our value system. So we must discover both what fuels and depletes our passion for Jesus. He said in Luke 12:24, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He said in Luke 16:13, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So he says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. You find your treasure, and you'll find where your heart is. You find what you value, what's important to you, and that's where your heart will be. It's not your heart that leads it. It's what you value, your treasure. That will determine the position of your heart. Your passion and your treasure will always be in the same place. The reason so many believers and so many churches are lukewarm and apathetic today is because they love their idols. They love their possessions. They love their stuff a lot more than they love Jesus. So we need to examine our priorities. What are your priorities today? What's important to you? Secondly, we need to emphasize his purpose. I think Paul defines for us here in this passage in Philippians 3 the definition of passion. He says in verse 13, "This one thing I do." He says, "I haven't arrived. I haven't accomplished everything." But he says, "There's one thing that I do, one thing I fill my life with." His goal was the prize of the upward call, the prize of the heavenly call. And what was that? The treasure of Jesus. That's the goal. That's the prize. And Paul defined it as knowing Jesus Christ. Not knowing about him, but knowing him experientially. Knowing him in a close, intimate relationship. You see, the whole motivation, the whole purpose, the whole goal of our lives must revolve around the single-minded pursuit of Jesus Christ and the gospel. This allows us to see the rest of the world as having no value when compared to the surpassing worth of Christ. Paul said, everything else is worthless. Nothing means anything but knowing him. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Are you ready to transition this year to an all-out passion for Jesus Christ? What hinders you today? Secondly, not only do we develop our passion, the second thing we must do is to devote our life to the pursuit of Christ. Devote our life to the pursuit of Christ. It says, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." You see, Hebrews chapter 12, written obviously after Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is filled with person after person after person who accomplished great things by faith. Men like Moses and Joseph and David and Gideon and Enoch. And because of their great faith, they were able to accomplish things far beyond imagination. And they accomplished these things because of their great faith in God. Let us this morning be like them, to be like them in their faith in God. Let us dare to be different. As we go into 2019, let's throw down the gauntlet. Let's go to that point of no return. Let's give him everything that we have. Let us fulfill our obligation to him to not live after the flesh, but to live after the Spirit. He says in Romans 8:12, "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it." Our obligation is to give our lives to him. After everything he's done for us, it's only reasonable that we give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. Obligation is not something we have to do as we define it in our culture, but for the believer in Christ, our obligation is something we are privileged to do. Our obligation doubles as our greatest opportunity, surrendering our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We sang a song like Crown Him with Many Crowns that speaks of kingship. Kingship, kings deserve obeisance, obedience. When we sing those songs, when we sing them from our heart, it should be with an attitude of worship. You see, the gospel demands that we give all of ourselves to God. And when we do, God gives all of himself to us. God tells us in Ephesians 1:3 that we have access to all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Not some, not a few, but all spiritual blessings. So first of all, let's look to Jesus. Looking to him, keeping our eyes fixed on him in this year. Secondly, live in the Spirit. When you surrender, when I surrender, when we surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit, he will take us places that we cannot go on our own. He will set up divine appointments with people that we could not meet on our own. He'll do things in us and through us that are impossible from a human standpoint. So let's allow him to dictate our decisions in 2019. Don't let self be your dictator. Don't let sin, selfishness be your dictator. Sin wants to dictate our lives. Self wants to be the dictator and tell us what to do. It wants to sit on the throne of our hearts. But the only way to dethrone the dictator of sin is by enthroning Jesus Christ in every area of your life. To let him have his way in every aspect, every level, every decision that we, and that's the defining decision, you see. So often we're afraid to let Jesus Christ have total control. We're afraid of what might happen. We're afraid of what the cost might be. We're afraid of what people may think or say. But don't let fear control you. Fear is not of God. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. When we have the right kind of love for Jesus, it casts out any fear that might hinder us from following him wherever he calls us to go. Fear is not of the Lord. And no matter what stage of life you are in this morning, enjoy the journey. If you need a what's next to make you happy, then you're in trouble and you'll never arrive there. We get so focused on then and there that we don't really enjoy the here and now. We look to the future, we look to the past, and don't enjoy the present. You know, when you, I don't know how you travel, but when I travel, I like to get someplace fast. I like to go the shortest ways and get there, you know, but when you do that, I know when my wife and I go on a trip, she loves to watch the scenery. I've got my eyes right on the road, and I'm moving as fast as I can, and she's enjoying the journey. So I don't really enjoy the journey. I just want to go from point A to point B. She enjoys the journey. So, but if she was driving, we'd never get there because she would just, you know, she'd be taking her time enjoying everything. And so you got to have that balance. But when was the last time that you took the scenic route on a trip, on a journey? The scenic route is the road less traveled in our fast, bustling culture of today. It takes longer. And it's an uphill climb both ways, but the view from the top is great. How do you get there? One day at a time. We read in Psalm 37, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. When God looks down at our life and he sees a life that's totally devoted to him, he gives stability to that person. He gives strength and courage. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, the psalmist said, now I'm old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. As we go through 2019, let's approach this year with enthusiasm. Let's trust God for great things. Let's set some big goals. You know, when you think about it, if we're not setting God-sized goals, to set goals that only God can do, then it perhaps constitutes a lack of faith. God can do anything, right? Nothing is impossible, he says several times in the scriptures, with God. So let's trust God for some things in our own lives and our own families. Let's trust God for some things in this church that are God-sized, that are big, that can only be accomplished if he does it. You see, we must remember, I think, that God wants us to get where he wants us to go more than we want to get where he wants us to go. God wants the right kind of pastor for this church more than any one of us want it. He wants the best for this church more so than anybody wants for this church because it's his church. He is ordering our footsteps. He's leading and guiding. Every single one of our footsteps he is ordering. And so we must be sure to do everything we can to keep in step with the Spirit. We don't determine the what or the where, but let's just let the Holy Spirit lead us and let's obey his promptings because we have a God who is in the business of strategically positioning us in the right place at the right time. In the fullness of times, God brings it all together. His divine appointments in our lives are more than just mere coincidences. They are his providential works. God operates in the invisible world. We need to be careful not just to align our lives with those things that we can touch and see because we have a God that controls not only the visible world, but also the invisible world. He orders our steps. He has great ability, he has the supreme ability to choreograph divine appointments. So let us, as we move forward in 2019, let us give God veto power in our lives. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 1, let us, he said, I beseech you, I beg you to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul said, as he led off there in chapter 12, verse 1, he said that challenge to the people, after he just spent 11 chapters telling them everything God had done, his greatness, his goodness. And he said, the reasonable thing then, after all that Christ, all that God has done, is to give our lives wholeheartedly, 100% to God, and holding nothing back, because it all belongs to him anyway. Let's move forward in lives this year, giving 100% to God, holding nothing back. He cares about every single step we take. He is setting up divine appointments in our lives. All we need to do is to follow his lead, exercise some patience, take it one step at a time. God help us to do that in the year 2019. God bless you.